Socialism has been a failure everywhere it's been tried, and yet socialism is quite popular with a lot of young people today, even professing Christians. In some ways, the midterm elections will be a referendum on socialism. In a sense, it's almost like Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest. He's a best-selling author. He's been cited by the United States Supreme Court. He's also a speaker. His name is Bill Federer, and his website is AmericanMinute.com. Bill, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Jerry.
All right, so the midterm elections. Would it be fair to say that socialism is in some ways on the ballot?
Yes, and it is amazing that you can have otherwise intelligent people being excited about this. One of the things I bring out is Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, the founder of the USSR, he says that the goal of socialism is communism. And people forget that Hitler was the head of the National Socialist Workers' Party. So in German, the letters stand for National Arbeiter, which means workers, Socialistica Party. So Hitler was a Führer. He was a dictator, but he was the head of the Socialist Party. And the USSR stands for Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And FDR said in 1940, the Soviet Union is run as a dictatorship, as absolute as any dictatorship in the world. So socialism is dictatorship. And if it's not there yet, it's moving in that direction, like Stalin said the goal is. And so students are like, well, I thought socialism was everybody owns everything equally. Let's think a little deeper. Who decides who lives in the nice house and who lives in the dumpy house? Somebody in the government dictates those things. Well, whoever ultimately dictates those things is the dictator. And so, again, if you want the government to dictate your life, fine, everybody's equal. You know, there's a word that kings and dictators have, and it's subjects. So you're a subject of the king. You're underneath of the authority. The word citizen means a co-ruler, a co-regent, a co-king, and it came from Athens. The word politics comes from polis, which means city, and so all the people, the city of Athens would come together, and they would be the leaders of it. So when we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic, we're basically pledging allegiance to us being in charge of ourselves. Pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. And so a republic is where the people are king ruling through representatives. A democracy is where the people are king ruling directly. And so, if you don't show up in Athens at the marketplace for a couple of days, you don't know what they're talking about, you're called an idiotus, an idiot. In a republic, you take care of your family and your farm, and you have someone in your place that goes to the market every day and talks politics. They are your representative. So in America, we're a republic. We have representatives, and they're representing us, the people. So we're the king. We're pledging allegiance to us being in charge of ourselves through these representatives. So when somebody protests the flag, what they're saying is, I don't want to be the king anymore. I protest this system where I participate in ruling. And so it's so important for us to understand this, that when you're choosing socialism, you're choosing to surrender you being the king, you being a co-king, and you're surrendering your life ultimately back into the hands of these elites, and then somebody that's the elite of the elite, the party boss, ends up being the next dictator.
Well, they wouldn't agree with this. They would say, look, all we want is free college. All we want is free Medicare, Medicare for all. We want, you know, free socialism or free health care. And so they wouldn't agree with the way you're framing this. Your thoughts?
Plato, 380 BC, Athens, he talked about how the city government would go through five stages. The first stage he called rule of the capable. These are people that know how to run farms and businesses and real estate companies, and they know how to balance the bottom line. They're responsible people. He called them lovers of principle and truth. They do a good job. The city grows. Second group wants to get involved in politics. Plato called them lovers of fame. They see the other guys getting the attention. They want their 15 minutes of fame. And so He called them Timocracy, or Lovers of Fame and Honor. And this could be somebody popular from the Greek theater, or a Greek actor, or a Greek athlete from the Greek Olympics, or maybe a military hero from the Greek Navy. And they're really good at what they do, but they've never had any experience running anything. They just got famous somehow, maybe through their courage or through their being a busybody. And Plato says these lovers of fame get into power. They hate being defamed. And so they will bend to public opinion. And so the first group, say whatever you want about them, they're going to do what's the most responsible thing to do for the bottom line. The second group, they'll bend. Maybe like a Hollywood actor that gets elected governor of California. And you think, you know, what did he run before he became the governor? Not even a village. He just got famous. And so they end up doing some financially irresponsible things, like funneling money to their retirement, to their friends and their family. And before you know it, it turns into a third category, a lover of money, is what Plato called them. This is an insider clique. And there's all this insider group, and they funnel the money to all their friends and families, and you got to have favors from them. And if you're not part of the insider clique, you don't get the favors, and besides, you got to pay the taxes. And so Plato said you go from lovers of principle of truth, lovers of fame and honor, lovers of money. After this division in society between those that are connected with the who's who and the majority of the people that aren't connected, the people end up throwing the bums out, and they set up a democracy. And Plato says, at first, a democracy is the most charming form of government. It's like a embroidery patchwork with lots of different colors. It's like a bazaar, a shop market where you pick any viewpoint you want. And the chief characteristic of a democracy is lovers of tolerance. So you can lovers of the principle of truth, lovers of fame and honor, lovers of money, lovers of tolerance, and they tolerate each other. It's great. And then they begin to tolerate people that are a little bit off. And then they tolerate people that are a lot off, till they're tolerating crooks and crimes and all kinds of immorality. And then it says if the father corrects his son, the son just shakes his head and walks away. And then Plato says that it gets into their sexual lives. He says the young man gives into libertinism and useless and unnecessary pleasures, even incest and unnatural union. Yes, that's what he's talking about. And then it gets into their handling of finances. And so they see the city treasury sitting there. It's a democracy. All they got to do is vote to spread the wealth around. And so they vote. Now the treasury's empty. Where can we get more money? The rich people. And so they vote to take the money from the rich people. Now there's no rich left. And then there's a shortage. And they say, well, don't cut back on what I'm used to getting. Well, don't cut back on my welfare or Social Security or food stamps or whatever. And it begins to be a conflict, a chaos, an anarchy. They begin to fight amongst themselves, and then they begin to say, can't someone come along and fix this mess? And that's the fifth stage. Someone comes along, and they're all smiles, and they promise everything to everybody, free health care, free everything, right? And the people fall in love with them, and they yield their freedoms and their rights and their powers to this person. And then the person begins to get too powerful. And they start waking up, and they cast it in his teeth that he's getting too powerful. But by this time, the king has concentrated so much power, he has the choice, give up the power or get rid of the people confronting him. And so he purges his administration and military of anybody with virtue. He doesn't want you following some moral code. He wants you to be yes men, to do what he says. And so he gets rid of his old friends. Who does he get to replace his old friends? He frees the criminals, the mobs, the immigrants, and he arms them, and they become his mob that goes around and riots and destroys anybody that disagrees with him politically. Finally, he stands in the chariot of state, and he's revealed as the tyrant. And so Plato says, okay, democracy without morals and virtue ends in this chaos. Out of the chaos appears this guy at first above ground as the protector, but then he ends up consolidating power, and he turns into a tyrant. So when you have a democracy, and you begin to see people wanting free stuff, and somebody coming along running for office saying, I'm going to give you free stuff. And then you begin to see all kinds of domestic chaos and riots and so forth. And this turns into insecurity for life and property and random killings. And then there's going to be this push to say, quick, everybody, knee-jerk reaction, surrender your guns. Surrender all your freedom, surrender, surrender. People say, yeah, whatever, just to stop this random killing. And then when the dust settles, you've transitioned back to a king. And Plato says that, you know, how is the king going to stay in power? He's going to take the children away from the parents and bring them into the city and indoctrinate them with noble lies. He actually calls them lies, but the lies help him to stay in power, and he's the best thing going. So, Plato says that, you know, he's going to get ownership of everything, and it goes on. So every dictator in history since then has claimed to be this philosopher king, and but end up killing all kinds of people that don't agree with him.
Is this all a summary of Plato's Republic? I mean, I'm asking as far as what work of Plato is it you keep referring here to? Or is it a series
of... I wrote a book. It's called Who is the King in America? And I go through this. It's chapters 8 and 9 Plato's Republic.
All right, I'll look through that. Free college. What are your thoughts on that? In fact, by the way, you used to run for Congress. You've done that... where you even threw Dick Gephardt off his game, although you did not win, your involvement in the congressional run actually caused him not to really, you know, ever become, you know, a serious presidential candidate. So thank you for that. But in the meantime, you know, when you were running for Congress and people would say, hey, you know, Mr. Potential Congressman, what do you think about free college or whatever, you know, what would be your answer?
When you understand, let's go back to Athens. They did do that. They did want, why? Because they wanted to indoctrinate all the kids. And so here's Pericles. He's verging on being a dictator, and he lets people come to the theater for free. You think, why in the world would he do that? Because they're getting indoctrinated. And so when you understand where there's a democracy, the people are king. And if you have an agenda, you got to influence the people. Right? If there's a king, you want to have an agenda, you got to get in to see the king. But there's no king in Athens. The people are the king. If you have an agenda, you got to pitch your views. And so how do you do that? Theater. And they would put on comedies, tragedies, satires, where they would ridicule and buffoon certain points of view and honor and extol other points of view. You would leave the theater saying, I don't want to be like that poor guy that was made fun of. And the other person, he was noble. And so from that time till now, theater is always political in a country where it's the people that make the decisions. And so think of your favorite sitcom or movie or show. There's a character you like. They're cute. They're funny. And as this series goes on and you get emotionally invested in a character, this character begins to be put in situations where they make morally compromising decisions. A little lie, a little lust, a little cheat, a little revenge. And you find yourself apologizing for him, saying, yeah, I know James Bond is with a woman that he's not married to, but he's about to save the world. So can we get on with the story? And it minimizes a character quality, marital fidelity, that used to be really important in your life, and now it's like this little side note. And then they portray people that hold old traditional values as backwards and bumpkins and simpletons and idiots and even hateful. And you turn off the TV and say, I don't want to be like that guy that was made look like a fool. And the other person, yeah, he was really cool. And, I mean, even marketing, they want to have the cool guy wear certain type of clothes and so forth. Why? Because they know it'll, people want to wear that type of clothes then.
One minute left.
So the idea is that in America, the country is controlled by laws. Laws are controlled by politicians. Politicians are controlled by voters. Voters are controlled by public opinion. Public opinion is controlled by media and education. Media in the short run, education in the long run. So whoever controls media and education controls the country.
Wow.
You follow that?
Country yeah, absolutely.
By politicians.
Okay.
Politicians controlled by voters. Yeah. Voters controlled by public opinion. Public opinion is controlled by the media and education.
All right, Bill, 15-second closing thought about socialism and the midterms. 15 seconds.
I think it is critical. And the younger generation needs to really look at this and not be pulled in what Lenin called useful idiots, not become a useful idiot of people pushing a socialist communist agenda. Wake up realizing that socialism is you surrendering your kingship and surrendering it to some elites that claim to know better, but they end up wanting to stay in power and they rig the system because they become a deep state.
Bill Federer.
Socialism is the deep state.
Bill Federer, thanks so much for being with us. AmericanMinute.com. All the best now. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.